I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Boldly go where no man has gone before.
Engage.
Engage. Kirk Enterprise, Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Catherine Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage. Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Oh, my God, and now it's day two. Holy smokes, it's the end of day two of the convention. We're here for another live-ish nightly recap. If you listened last night, it was really loud and noisy because we thought it would be fun to do it in Quark's bar. And now we realize that recording audio in a bar is probably a bad idea because you can't hear anything.
Don't worry, we can bring the noise.
Right, so I'm here tonight with a different recap with more... with some fun people. I'm here with all four of the women at Warp.
Yeah.
Welcome them.
We're clapping for ourselves.
Clap for yourselves. And I'm going to introduce them from my left to the right, but if you're listening at home, it's from your right to your left. We have Andy down there.
Hi.
And Andy, you, where are you from, Andy?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a lot of mic sharing for this. We have a couple of drinks here on the table, even though
we're not
in the bar.
Okay.
Andy's from Chicago. And you're one of the more intriguing members of the Women at Warp. I mean, of the four, it's an equal four. But you are the newest to Star Trek, right?
Yes, I actually just started watching Star Trek 3 years ago. So right. It was kind of mind-blowing to think that 3 years ago I was sitting down and going, all I know about Star Trek is Will Wheaton wears bad sweaters. And then started live tweeting my first time through Star Trek. And then now here I'm in Vegas with three of my best friends in the world who I met through the Star Trek fandom.
Awesome.
Just like having a great time. And I think that really says a lot about Star Trek and how it brings people together.
But you were a super geek in other topics prior to Star Trek.
Yes.
What were your favorite fandom things? You were into...
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Doctor Who is a big one.
Okay.
I have my own fourth Doctor scarf. I almost packed it just to troll people.
I saw a guy dressed as him yesterday.
I did too. I saw him when I was... And I was like, I have that scarf.
Yeah.
Buffy, Harry Potter,
okay.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I mean, you name
All
it.
All the classics.
All the classics.
Okay, good. Now we have next to you... We have Sue.
Yes.
And Sue, where are you from?
I am from New York City.
Hey, I didn't know that. I'm from New York. Where in New York do you live?
I am in Brooklyn.
Hey, I'm from Queens. We're going to fight
Let's
later.
Let's go.
Like Peter Parker and Steve Rogers. I live in Astoria, and I have lived there for many, many years. And then to your right, we have Grace.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Grace?
I'm a Seattleite and proud.
Okay. I've never been to Seattle. I've always wanted to
You're
go.
You're missing out.
Yeah, yeah.
Gray skies and gray attitudes.
And then to Grace's right, we have...
Jara.
And Jara's from Canada. Who let her in the house?
Yeah, well, we had the launch of the Starfleet Academy experience in Ottawa, where I'm from, so that's like our Star Trek claim to fame now.
Right. You're from the capital, from Ottawa.
The
beautiful Parliament building, so I'm told, right?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They were like kind of gothic architecture, and then they all burned down, and they built them again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like our most exciting thing.
So that's about it. No, that's where John and Yoko had their bed in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's like kind of the only thing I know about Ottawa.
You just made Ottawa incrementally.
Yeah,
exponentially.
They wanted to do it elsewhere, and we weren't allowed. They were kicked out, and they had
Ottawa
to go to Ottawa.
Was just the right level of rebelliousness.
Right. They were too nice to kick him out of bed. Okay, sorry, we don't want to kick you out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's what you want to do.
Cool.
Now, we have the sexy prime minister, so that's
Oh,
that's
Justin Trudeau,
fame.
Right?
Yeah.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, I think he once made a Vulcan sign in a picture, so we're cool.
He's very handsome. He speaks fluent French. And he's a lovely guy. He really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's great about The Women at Warp, which is a podcast that you are a collective of four strong voices, but you are also a podcast that people can listen to at womenatwarp.com? Is it that simple to get to? Okay, yeah. Awesome. And you are the first other podcast that we featured on the Engage podcast, which is something I've been wanting to do for a while.
That's awesome.
But have not had a chance to do.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Because there are some great other podcasts that I love listening to that are not my own, and ours is relatively new. So this is cool. And to my great shame, this is episode, I don't know the exact episode of what this is. It's probably 12 or so. I could look it up.
Okay.
And I'm embarrassed about this, and it was not in my intention. You are among the first women to be on the show.
Well, the important thing is that you're making the effort.
Right. We had one, a very good friend of mine, when I did for Star Trek Beyond, we did a critics roundtable after the film. And my great friend Allison Wilmore came on. She's the film critic at BuzzFeed, and she is the only female that has been on the show. But Allison, who I love dearly, I've passed out drunk at her house.
That is a true sign of affection.
Right, no. And she at mine, I think, also. Allison does not really care for Star Trek that much.
Okay.
So, I mean, she's like,
perfect.
Yeah, you ask her, do you like Star Trek? She's like, yeah, sure, you know, okay. Spock, he's got pointy ears, right? I got more important things to do. So, you were the first women Star Trek fans we've had on the show.
We care for Star Trek
a great deal.
Yeah.
There is to probably still lingering to with many people a misconception that Star Trek is a dude thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And I think just by being around you folks, tell me, by looking around the convention today, I don't want to misrepresent and say it's an even 50-50 split, because mm-hmm. I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's far from 50-50. Do you disagree or agree?
I would pretty much agree.
Yeah.
You think it's like maybe 58 to 42 male to female?
I would also say like Star Trek's never been only for men.
I'm saying the fan base is...
Yeah. I think that the fan base should know, if they don't already, that we wouldn't even have Star Trek fandom if it weren't for women in fandom. Mm. That, like, B. Joe Trimble, with John Trimble, of course, did the letter writing campaign, but it was women who started the first fanzines, who brought us Kirk and Spock fan fiction.
Right. It was women who started the first conventions.
Yeah, exactly.
We wouldn't be here today
Absolutely.
If not for women in fandom.
I want you to know that earlier today, much seems like B. Joe was sitting in that very chair.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
And so you can rub your behind on that chair if you want to get some of that. She was in that chair. And John was in your chair.
Okay, well, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a cool
guy. It's like me and Bajo's butts have hugged now.
She's a pretty nifty gal.
Hashtag butt hug.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think there still is a misconception that Star Trek fans are dudes? And I think it's not true.
Yeah.
I think that Star Trek fans, certainly the gender divide is pretty close to equal. And I think diversity-wise, it's not as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. But it is not. I have a lot of other interests other than Star Trek. Very few other interests than Star Trek. Like, I'm a very big fan. You're now welcome to laugh at me. I'm a huge fan of the jam band Fish.
Nice.
Which she laughed. There you go.
With a PH.
Yeah. Fish, and people,
I had a friend lose a shoe at one of their shows once.
Yeah, well, whatever you do, take care of your shoes. That's one of the lyrics, so she did it wrong.
They didn't do it.
Fish, people, I love them. Many people deplore them. That's fine. And it's all white dudes. And but it's all white dudes who wish it wasn't all white. It's not like it's a Klan rally or something, but it's like, it's just like, we're white. Oh, we're a bunch of white dudes, and I wish that there was more diversity, and there's not. But Star Trek fans, I think, are doing a better job of including other people. So I've now gotten on my high horse there.
Oh,
so
yeah, it's a good horse to ride. It's certainly been a welcoming convention, and I think there's still a little work to do to have diverse people on stage in terms of gender, but also race and other types of identification. But it doesn't feel, it feels like a family.
Yeah.
So it's just like the moment you walk in, no matter who you are, you can talk to someone and you can connect because you all love Star Trek so much.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing about this convention to me. People say, well, what do you do? I mean, yeah, you can go to the panels or you can buy stuff, but like part of the most fun thing is just kind of walking around and talking to people. And it's like, hey, look at you. Can I get a picture of you? Yeah. So, but do you think that Star Trek is a little bit more welcoming to women than other quote unquote geek topics like gaming or other sort of Comic-Con type things, comic books, DC Comics, Marvel Comics? Is there is a problem with gaming about a year ago.
There's still a problem in gaming.
I'm too old. I don't play video games. They're very complicated. I'm an old man, so I don't know.
He's a resident hardcore gamer.
Okay, so you get griefed on? Is that the term?
It can be tough to be a woman in gaming.
Yeah.
The thing about Star Trek, though, that is a little bit different is that Star Trek, at its core, is a hope for a future where none of those divisions matter.
Yeah.
So you have, in most Star Trek fans, at least the knowledge that that is a goal that we should get to, which is super helpful when you're trying to convince people that diversity matters and representation matters and all that stuff, because if you're a fan of a show that is all about that and that their goal and hope for the future is that, and the mission statement is that, that kind of puts you on a leg up. But I do think that unconsciously, sometimes there we put barriers up. And I mean, even the idea that Star Trek is a dude thing, you know, makes women that are interested in it from the start feel like, oh, maybe am I doing this? Am I supposed to like this?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
I think that's changing, but I think that was definitely the case, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s when Next Generation was a new show. There'd be a lot of girls that'd be like, I'm not going to, like, if I do like that, I'm going to keep that to myself.
Exactly.
It's not cool.
I mean, as opposed to Andy, I grew up with Star Trek, literally. And it was something that you start to be excited about when you hear other people talking about it. And then you get the blowback of, you're not supposed to like that. That's not for you.
Yeah.
You're a girl.
This
what
is
are you
our
doing?
Thing, not yours.
And so it makes you self-conscious about everything, and then you don't necessarily speak about it to other people.
Mm. Yeah.
So I've had a lot of friends who we're sort of in like a geek renaissance now, where being a geek is celebrated.
Right. Very new.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of friends who have, I guess, come out of the geek closet during that time, say, I was just afraid to talk about this before because I didn't want to get bullied.
Yeah. I'm almost at a point now where I feel comfortable reading a comic book on the subway. It's like wearing sweatpants outside. Like, it's like something you just can't do in public. It's just not right. But I feel like I can do it. Some days I'm just like, I don't care. There was a time I felt really strong. I'm like, I don't even care. And I don't even care that it's the Harley Quinn and Power Girl comic. I'm reading that, which is the most ridiculous and potentially sexist, maybe. I don't know. But
Amanda Connor is involved.
Yeah,
she is, but yes. But it was her and Jimmy Palmiotti stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
the problem with reading comics on the subway is that the kids on the subway always want to see what you're reading, and sometimes they're not kid-friendly.
Right.
Also, another fun one is everyone who sees you have a comic usually will have an opinion about it.
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I still, if I'm reading like a comic on the bus, will get, oh, is that your boyfriend's?
Oh, snap.
At one point.
And you yell at them. You tell them to shut up.
I said, no, it's mine. I love this comic. I've been reading it for years.
Oh.
And by the way, this entire long box on my lap full of comics. I wouldn't carry that for a boyfriend.
Yeah.
This is all me, baby.
Well, I do think that's changing. And I think that future generations are like, I don't mean future generations. I think in 10 years. People are not going to say that.
Yeah,
and
God willing.
It's the women at Warp, the young women of Warp, who are on the forefront of this. So that's really cool. So, but part of the utopia of Star Trek is I don't just want to talk to you about women's issues.
Right.
I want to talk to you about Star Trek.
All right.
So, although I did say that we were going to talk about the Orion Syndicate beer.
Yeah, sure.
So let's look. We're drinking official Federation of beer.
Yeah.
And is the image, the iconography of the Orion slave girl, is this a sexist microaggression? I'm gonna go down the line, and you tell me, is this kosher? Is this like as a guy, like the same?
Can I start? Please.
You.
So it depends what series is your favorite, because if you're watching Enterprise, then the Orion slave women are really in charge of everything.
Right, they control the men.
So, yeah. Part of the great things about Star Trek is that you can kind of headcanon it what way you want to.
All right, cool.
So, I mean, for me, I'm just like, I think it's fun. I'm a big fan of the Federation of Beer and their Warnog and their Vulcan Ale, which they launched in like Vulcan, Alberta.
Oh.
So being a Canadian, I have to bring this up because we have like an inferiority complex.
No, what are you talking about? You've got health care. You can break your arm and you'll be taken care of. It's fine.
And she looks like a really talented dancer. So she looks like an empowered, talented dancer.
Well, it's a sex positive message that you're bringing. But not only that, it also has sort of the, I don't even want to say kitsch value. I want to say like, you know, Star Trek's green-skinned women is like an icon. So there is, I think that gets a pass, right?
They are definitely a sex symbol, and this label is definitely playing on some of the pinup iconography. There's a little bit of Mooka going on here that I'm really digging.
I don't know what Mooka is. What is
Alphonse Mooka is an Art Nouveau artist, very famous for doing a lot of advertisements, and I think a lot of cathedral artwork, actually. Oh. So fun combo there. You see lots of nature, lots of flowing hair. It's usually Mooka.
So, sexist microaggression or kosher for...
I do really think it's playing on the kitsch factor. Okay. And again, it's also kind of a pretty good throwback to the, you know, sort of Sailor Jerry beer, Dutch girl
right.
aesthetics.
St. Pauli girl, yeah.
Exactly.
So a lot of it is what you bring to it. If it's like if a bunch of dudes are... And I'm being serious now. Let's say I'm... bunch of guys are you know, what do men do? Watching the game or whatever. And they're gonna crack open some brews and it's like, check out the knockers on this Orion
she's
girl.
Actually, the knocker wise, she's pretty well covered up actually. There's just a little there's just some under boobage going.
And yeah.
Totally out of proportion.
I mean
she looks rather flexible, right? But not unreasonably so.
I mean it's definitely created for the male gaze.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
And not you're saying male gaze, not G-A-Y-S. You're saying the male
G-A-Z-E.
Right, the male gaze of right.
So a Mulvey in the house.
Right.
Made to appeal to straight men, let's say. But I think we've got a little bit of the problem that we often get in comic book poses where it might not actually be physically possible.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The Escher spine.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, I encourage people to look up the Hawkeye Project? Yes. Hawkeye Collective?
Yeah. Hawkeye Initiative.
Initiative. That's the word I couldn't think of.
There was that one cat, it was a Catwoman cover that really broke the back of this issue because she had a broken spine.
Right.
Yes. And it's like somehow her rear end and her breasts were like.
That's the boobs and butt.
We are no strangers to it.
Right.
She's actually not doing that.
No, she's not. It's pretty cool.
She actually looks like she's dancing and having a good time.
So once again, Star Trek has proven to be a cut above. Right? It's a little bit... Because, I mean, some of the 60s presentation of women...
I've seen worse.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Put it that way.
It's delicious.
Right.
It goes down smoother than a dribble on silk.
Right. I mean, some of the representation of women in original series was... of its time and therefore horrible.
Yes.
But then you also have Uhura on the bridge, and oftentimes, you know, there was that one episode where she's down fixing the wires, and Spock is like, I could think of no one better to be serving with
more
us today.
Capable.
More capable, so that's awesome, and it's 50 years ago awesome, which is makes it 50 times more awesome. But then you have some images that are, you know, not the greatest. So... you know, it's a struggle along the way is what it is, I guess, right?
You take the good with the bad,
right.
And that's the facts of life.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just say quickly, like, I think that for us it's important to still look at that, even though it was a product of its time, because it's being used to create new media today, and to say, like, hey, if we were doing this today, here's how we do it better. And
well, maybe Enterprise is a good example of that. They brought back the Orion slave girl. like you said earlier, they said, but guess what? But underneath the hood, she was in charge.
Yeah, I think it was a bit mixed because it was still kind of like flipping. It just flipped from instead of women are the victims, it flipped to women are the praying mantises that you should never trust because they're going to use sexuality to disarm you men.
Right. Yeah. All right,
so
fair
it was
enough.
Just from one stereotype kind of to another.
Yeah, but I think...
But a more empowering stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a better... If you're going to have a stereotype,
sure.
Build one of those.
A creative stereotype, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think stuff has definitely got better. We all love Star Trek. We just want to talk about, let's be honest about what it did awesome and like what it did less awesome.
What
could
you
do better?
What did you think of the representation of women in the new film.
Much better.
Let's go down the line. Well, you're doing a dance, so I guess. Because some, my friend Allison Wilmer, who I mentioned earlier, who I'm going to force to listen to this episode because she doesn't listen to any of my shows because she doesn't like Star Trek, she was unimpressed with Uhura. They're like, she was barely in the movie. I'm like, she saves Spock's hide in one moment. And then I also think that Jayla is a pretty cool character. And others disagree. So, Andy, what do you say?
Well, I would say, first off, that we did an episode on Beyond that will be coming out.
Okay, so we can listen to that soon.
If you're interested in hearing our full opinions, that's there. But just in general, I think if we're even talking this new trilogy of movies, I think it's by far the best for women. You've got Jayla, who has her own arc outside of male characters. I think Uhura got a lot more to do. She's definitely on par with the other supporting characters. It's not just about her and Spock this time around.
Yeah.
And you had a lot more just random diversity. You had, you know, Shori Agadashlu playing an amazing Commodore.
Right. In two scenes, but that in the old days that just would have been a white guy.
Yeah, and I mean, even in Into Darkness, you have a scene with most of Starfleet Command, and it's like wall-to-wall white guys, and then occasionally in the long shots you can see some women, but, you know, even in the background scenes of Beyond, you see gender diversity, you see race diversity, you see aliens and body diversity and all sorts of things that they just, even in the extras casting, is just better.
Yeah, okay.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Women have ranks!
Yeah. Yes!
That's a huge one, that the uniforms finally have rank insignia on them.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't in the first two movies,
if
you hadn't noticed. And apparently we have Carl Urban to thank for that.
That's the story,
So that's awesome.
Thanks, Carl.
Yeah,
I mean, we have... It's something that you hear a lot if you follow the Gina Davis Institute for diversity, women in media, diversity in media. I don't remember the full name of it, and I've been drinking this beer. but they say that one of the most effective and simple things you can do is make your background scenes, say, you know, a crowd gathers, 50% of which are women.
Right.
And it felt to me in Beyond that they really did that they
which
listened
to
this critique.
Which would seem to be
obvious,
the most common sense thing because...
Right.
In life, where one goes, at least in this country, you know, in some countries women are not allowed to drive, but in America, you see 50% are women. So.
And we did. We saw that. We saw in these crowd scenes, we saw a lot of women. We saw a lot of different races, as Andy was saying.
Yeah.
For the first time that I can recall, I even saw body diversity in Star Trek. Like, there were some bigger people running some consoles on...
There was that dude. Who was that guy?
It was just a guy.
Yeah.
And he was not like a medium, which was amazing.
Awesome sauce.
He's Lieutenant Awesome Sauce. Yeah, he was a fully seated gentleman, as I like to refer to myself.
More power to him.
Yeah, and then there was also very small, like Keenzer had more to do.
Yeah.
And Keenzer has a friend, and Keenzer's little friend is even littler. Kevin, right? That's his name?
Yeah, I hope so.
And Keenzer has acidic snot, which is wonderful.
Do you not?
Only on very, very bad days.
Only when we drink too much.
Right.
But not of Syndicate Lager.
Right, not of the Syndicate Lager.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
All right, so I just said, but I wanted to talk about other topics. So collective... Women at Warp individuals, which are you four, what we want to do with these nightly recaps is, how was your day? What did you see today at the convention? Let's start with you, Jarrah.
Yeah. So this is my fourth Star Trek Las Vegas, which I think is more than any of us. And
you just had to lord that over the rest of them, right?
No, I'm just saying that this makes this a tiny bit more significant that I think this was actually my best Star Trek Las Vegas day of 4 years.
Awesome. Great.
And part of that was Whoopi Goldberg. And I didn't think necessarily it was going to be amazing. I thought, we'll go see Whoopi because she's never done a con.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But it was so powerful to see especially the cosplayers playing Guinan got to go up on stage with her and talk about how she affected them as a character. And people coming up to the mic one after another and saying how she affected them as a person of color, as a woman, and being trusted, so trusted by Picard. It was so moving. And she was funny. She read the room really well.
Yeah.
I think Whoopi was really the highlight.
I think it was probably really great for her because she's always been, I mean, she asked for that role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had won the Oscar for Ghost and she could have done anything. She said, I want to be on Star Trek. And her agent thought she was crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to be on Star Trek. And they changed everything to make it happen. And she was only in X amount of episodes. Some really great ones. Some of the best. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's Enterprise, Time's Arrow. Some of the best ones. Measure of a Man. Yeah. And had a great rapport with Picard.
Absolutely.
Some even argue that perhaps she and Picard had a love affair at one
point.
That's
not the theory she has.
Oh, what did she say? I couldn't go to the panel. I had to talk to Dominic Keating and Connor Trinneer in this very room, so I was unable to see
what
she
said. That Gene Roddenberry told her that Guinan was very, 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 a lot more varies, very old and very wise.
Yeah.
And that it is very possible that some of the main characters that we know are her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. So her theory is that Picard is one of her descendants.
Yep.
How does that make sense? How can they be because of time dilation or something? She was
No, that her race is very long
lost. Okay. So
she's Elorian.
Yeah, no, I know that, but how could someone like Picard be related to her?
She basically went back to Earth during the Mark Twain time, or maybe
she was
on Earth during when Mark Twain was around or earlier, and then she slept with one of Picard's ancestors.
So Gene Roddenberry said this to her?
He told her, she said in those vague terms, that she could be an ancestor of some of our main characters that we know very well.
She also hooked up with Q.
Yeah.
There were some fun insinuations there.
Wow. Whoopi Goldberg and Q together. That's that would be fun. But you were about to say... You were about to make a point.
I was about to say the same thing.
Oh, you were both at Q on the mind.
Always. Grace was the one who flagged us when we were standing on the hallway by the Anton Yelchin Memorial.
Yeah.
And Whoopi came out to sign it. Oh. And we were like 4 feet away when Whoopi was signing the memorial, and we looked at her signature afterwards. Yeah. But it was a really moving moment.
Yeah.
One icon paying tribute to another.
Absolutely.
That's not the kind of thing you get to see in person every day in your life.
Yeah.
And there was no fanfare about it. She just came out of when she was done with photos and just, you know, did what she needed to do and turned and walked away.
Yeah.
That was all. And it was really lovely.
Yeah, she seems to be a very genuine person. I mean, she doesn't need to be here. She's not here for the money. I mean, she's probably making a few bucks, let's be honest, but she doesn't need the money. She's here because she's always loved Star Trek. It was her dream gig. She was able to do whatever she wanted, and it was this. So
yeah, should we all be so lucky?
Yeah. Right? And then later, Nichelle Nichols was on stage with her.
Mm-hmm.
Nichelle, they gave her like a sort of a salute type thing.
Yeah.
And then she was on stage, and then they brought Whoopi back sort of as a surprise, and there was I didn't see it, so there was sort of an embrace that happened there, or a wave, or a...
They sort of leaned on each other.
Aww.
And it was very sweet, and Whoopi said that, you know, she should be very thankful of... or she should recognize the influence that she had on so many people. She started with saying, you know, forget anything, just let's talk about women and the influence that you had on women in the space program, and to be able to see that you had important roles in the future. And then let's look at all of the other things, and women of color in particular. And so it was a really powerful day that really spoke to the importance of representation, how diversity does matter to show on screen even today, but especially in the 1960s.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, there's that whole story. She wanted to leave the show, and somebody told her not to leave. That somebody happened to be Martin Luther King. That's a hell of a guy to tell you, to give you career advice, you know? So,
yeah, one of the most amazing things that Whoopi said today was that one of the things that struck her from Uhura's performance is that Black people are not portrayed in the future.
that at, when she was growing up, you never saw black people in the future. And we actually did an episode on Uhura where we had a guest named Angelique Roche from mm-hmm. Black Girl Nerds, and that's the exact same thing she said to us, that when she was growing up, you know, even 20 years later or whatever, that was the thing that struck her too. She was like, we're there. You know, we made it, you know, and I think people sometimes forget that matters. Even if you're not noticing it, you're noticing it. Your brain is taking that in subconsciously. And if you're not represented, what they're basically telling you is you don't matter to the future.
And so I mean, it almost means more for science fiction than for a story just set today.
Absolutely. And also fantasy, because if you have a fantasy world and you don't have any people of color, what does that say about your utopia?
It says that dragons are more believable than people of color.
You're willing to write elvish but not have a single person who is any darker than beige doing something wrong.
Well, which is why I think that in the new movie, the Sulu husband scene was perfect. And I had Doug Jung on the show, who, as you know, was the writer and was not planning to be Sulu's husband. And it was like the day of, the other actor they got just vanished. Mm-hmm. And
hope he's okay.
Nobody knows. I was wondering. Doug said I had no idea. But they were shooting that in Dubai, and they were trying to hire local actors. So what I hope is not the case is that the actor said, if I play a gay character, I'm never going to work again, or I'm going to have problems living here because it's not the most welcoming society there. But I don't know if that's true. That's just me talking out my rear end. But what I thought was great about that sequence was I saw the movie twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw it was a press screening in New York. And the only reaction was, people applauded because people knew it was coming. It was people in the media, and they were like, that's the scene we read about. There it is. This is great. And people applauded. Second time I saw it was with the public, and there was no reaction. Mm-hmm. It was like just a scene. And I think that maybe was even better. Yeah. You know, that was just like, we're in the moment because we're with Kirk. It's really Kirk's scene in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not Sulu's moment. It's Kirk's moment. He's like, oi, my life. I got to get my act together. Look at Sulu's got a nice family, and I got Bupkis. Shatner's version of Kirk is extremely Jewish.
That is very true.
Very Jewy Jew, and I mean this in the best possible way. There are moments where
look at this giant space.
It's not quite like Oya Space.
These tribbles, where do they come from?
But there's a lot of like when he does his funny, it's like, you know, he does a lot of that. You know, he's playing Fizbin. There's a little bit of his shtick in there, and in some of the looks
good
between
usage of shtick.
Yeah, and his looks in between Kirk. I've been meaning to do, and I think I'm going to do it. Time for the high holidays this year, a Jewish Star Trek episode, because there is a lot of hidden. We'll talk. My people will talk to your people.
The chosen people.
I have a lot of people who want to be on this episode because there is a lot of signaled Jewish material in the original series that a lot of people may not be.
Star Trek is hella Jewy.
Right. And Worf is Moses, by the way.
Isn't he?
Worf is Moses. He
even
was
has elderly
in a basket.
Jewish acting parents. Right. Yeah.
Drinks prune juice.
Oh, yeah.
It's very funny.
Complains a lot.
Right, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I derailed us.
Yeah, way to go.
Don't be.
So anyway, that is what's happening with Sulu and that. So I think, and it was, of course, in a way, in retrospect, it's kind of funny. The one guy who didn't like the Sulu thing was George Takei.
And apparently it grew on him.
Yeah, he backpedaled a little bit once he saw it. But yeah. What was really funny was I did an episode of the show, and we interviewed George. And before I spoke to George, this was before the movie came out, I was schmoozing with Brad, whom I've met three times. And Brad remembers me. George does not remember me. He's a busy guy. And Brad's like, I know you. So we were talking, and I was just saying this was a couple days after Brian Fuller had made the strong implication that there will be a gay character in the new show. He didn't say it, but he's like pretty much said it. And I mentioned this to Brad. I'm like, the new show, it looks like they'll finally be a gay character, which George has been talking about for a long time, and many of us have. And he's like, I know. And then he told me about the scene, which had not come out, the story hadn't come out yet, about Sulu in the movie. And Brad, I hope I'm not getting anybody in trouble, Brad seemed to be really into it. Mm. And then the story came out that George wasn't into it. But they fight all the time, the two of them. That's kind of their shtick. If you ever see them, they're always arguing each other. So I was very surprised to read that George wasn't into it, because I'm like, well, Brad seemed to like it. He knew it when he told me, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that later he sort of said he was excited that at least there was a gay character.
Right.
I think that it was important in the timing in the movie, even though it wasn't incredibly important in the story, but it was important that we saw Kirk say, hey, there's Sulu and his family. They're yes. just as awesome as any other family. That's really sweet. And then we got to see Sulu kick ass for the rest of the movie. And he yeah. did that crazy flying maneuver in the canyon.
I love that scene.
And there's no point where Kirk or anyone else questions him for being gay. And
no, they've known him for years.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think it was really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, can we just acknowledge how cool it is that we're going to be getting an openly gay man as the showrunner for our next Star Trek series. And
right.
a guy who has had a very good history of saying that he is gender blind sometimes when casting characters, and race blind. Good yeah. example there is yeah. Hannibal. I'm very excited to see what could happen with that.
Well, the lead, I have said before on the podcast, I don't really know for sure, but we are in Vegas. I should bet on this. I am certain that the lead character in the new show is a woman. I'm certain of it.
Yeah. Good Lord, I want to bet on those.
Yeah, I'm certain of it. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll still love the show. Don't get me wrong, but I'm pretty sure of it.
Even
so.
Quark would take those off.
Right, okay.
Fingers crossed.
Right.
Well, Brian Fuller is well known for doing amazing shows centered around women. Some of his best shows are centered around women. We've got Wonderfalls and Dead Like Me are both centered around amazing, strong
Even
women.
Even his made-for-TV version of Carrie made the character stronger than we'd seen in previous incarnations.
Yeah.
Emotionally stronger.
He also has a tendency to cast women of color, which is super exciting. He said that Angela Bassett was like his dream pick, who is also my dream pick, and if we got Angela Bassett, I would pass out on the floor and then die. So,
all right, so don't cast Angela Bassett, because I don't want that to happen.
We can resuscitate her. It's fine.
Right. Cool. Okay, so other highlights from the day. What are the merchandise? Hey, what do you ladies think? I the whole time I'm saying I don't want to talk about only women's issues, but here I go again. Because I never talked. My wife does not want to talk about Star Trek with me ever, so I have no women to talk to about this. The Mac booth in there.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
a good thing, right? That's Oh, you're wearing 7 of
I'm
9.
I'm wearing it.
She's wearing it.
Yeah.
I was wearing some earlier. Yeah. I think we all kind of got a little psyched up over that.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about right at the beginning, right? That Star yeah. Trek is seen as like a boys' club. It's wonderful that we're finally being marketed to. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, sounds ridiculous.
Please advertise to me. Please sell. I hate commercials. Yeah. I hate being marketed to.
But. Like the first year I was here, we had our panel on women in Star Trek, and people were complaining about how there were no women's t-shirts in the vendor's room. Literally, there were no t-shirts that were sized for women. And people prefer their t-shirts cut different ways.
Sure.
But this year, I know Andy bought
Beyond
an
dress.
Amazing Beyond dress.
Oh, you bought the Anobos Beyond dress.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, there's, obviously not all women wear makeup, but there are more things for more range of people.
Right.
Regardless.
Yeah.
And, in terms of costumes, shirts, makeup, and it's just really good to see.
I feel like things are changing on almost an exponential level at this point. Like, you're talking about 4 years. When was that panel? 4 years ago, you said?
Yeah.
Well, we're also talking about like high quality makeup when we talk about MAC. We talk about like the high fashion stuff here. And it's great that that's kind of going against this idea that everyone has about the nerds being the sweaty rejects in the basement versus the people who are having high quality, high fashion makeup marketed to them.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's pretty freaking cool. Although I really do wish we had had a DS9 character in their influence line. Mm. I really do.
Yes. Well, that's true. Yeah. You had 7 of 9.
If we make this one successful, they'll give us Janeway and they'll give us Kira.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Kira should be for jewelry, though.
Kira will be all she choppers have, and
yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, nice. The line is pretty fun, though. It's it's daring. It's got a lot of metallics, which people are all about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Cool. Well, I wish I wore makeup. I don't.
Nothing's stopping you.
No, I'm all, actually, maybe it would look good on me. It'd bring out my eyes, you know.
I think you could really rock the gold eyeliner cat eye. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe if we filled in the eyebrows a little bit.
I would get it in my eye, though. I'm very clumsy. I would.
It takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one called Pleasure Planet. There's one called, like, Cog.
My personal favorite is the lip gloss I bought called Cling It On.
Aw, that's fabulous.
What about the holodeck?
Yeah.
Holo!
Cool. All right, so clearly we have, this is not a split decision. This is a four people saying, yes, this is a great thing.
It's new, it's different.
Yeah.
They also had a really good presentation. So, like, you walk into the vendor room, and it's an amazing, I mean, you see the warp. Sue and I got to catch the two of the cosplayers doing Uhura and Spock doing the singing. Where they, you know, did that awesome scene from TOS where Uhura sings to Spock. I think it's really cool. I would love if they didn't test on animals.
Yeah.
It's the mostly sour note.
I thought I heard that they didn't. They do, or?
Apparently, we've looked into this a little bit, and from what we found, in order to sell products in China, China requires animal testing. So any makeup brand that sells their products in China does animal testing. And so it's really difficult to avoid, and it's unfortunate.
But isn't there, so what they have, I heard that they don't use certain chemicals in their line that other lesser brands do, but testing on animals,
that's not great.
I don't know if Georgia Gracie would approve.
Right. Testing on Georgia Gracie.
But you know what? The thing is, there are plenty of times where we've seen big advertisers dip their toes into a fandom, and it's just very surface. Even if they had fans behind this or not at MAC Cosmetics, they did their research.
They made an effort to actually make it be something that the fans would enjoy felt like we were being pandered to.
Absolutely. Their panel was also amazing.
It was fantastic.
Now that woman, Ashley, is dynamite. It was not, like you say, it wasn't just like, oh, this is spacey. It was like, no, it's characters. It's seven of nine.
Here's
and we're going to.
Glittery eyeshadow. It's space.
Right.
They were like, no, this is the 60s aesthetic. This is what we think this character would want to emphasize.
The way that they did the line, the way they did the demonstrations on their panel, they said, this is how we modernized specifically Uhura. And here's how we think that Uhura would do her makeup if the show was made today. Mm-hmm. And that's what inspired the products that they made for her. And they did these demonstrations on stage. And it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And they look wonderful.
Yeah. Cool.
It was a hoot.
Awesome. Well, listen, we have taken a lot of your time. It's already now getting late into the evening. It's almost 8 in the p.m. What are your plans for tomorrow? What's the big...
I'm really excited to check out the 50 Artists for 50 Years exhibit again.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
I saw some fabulous stuff in there. I'm a really big fan of Dan Mumford's work in particular.
Which one is he?
He did the great First Contact poster in there, and a lot of his work is horror-themed. He does a lot of horror poster redesigns, and I think that comes through actually really well for First Contact.
First Contact is a zombie movie.
It's
the Borg of the Zombies.
Essentially, and he really plays with that visually, and I really dig it. And
cool.
Also, he's just got this great sense of horror vacui in his art that lends itself really well.
Tomorrow, Andy and I are going to be on Super Bridgemates, which is on the Roddenberry stage, and which is one of the things I think has really added to the con this year, that there's a third stage that's really like interactive and fun. It's sort of like a... newlywed game kind of thing.
Oh, that's fun.
Our team is called the Council of Mistresses after Angel One. It's bit of an ironic thing. But you'll be able to find us with our shirts that say a woman's place is on the bridge.
Awesome.
And we'll be on that. What's the time?
I think it's 12:30.
12:30 on the Roddenberry stage.
Oh, good. That means that you'll be free at 10 a.m. To go to the... The One Trek Mind panel.
Don't say.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Yeah, no, you got to be free and you got to yell and scream and give your opinions because we're doing tomorrow worst episodes ever of the entire franchise.
That can only be fun.
I don't think you need to worry about it.
Code of Honor.
Code of Honor is probably it. But I think Shades of Grey, just on principle, is worse just because it's so lazy.
Hard.
Yeah. But then And the Children's Shall Lead is really awful. Also,
we got a lot to pick from.
I think Code of Honor is probably the worst. Because it's just despicable. But
if Code of Honor was excerpted in Shades of Grey, it would absolutely...
Oh, that's the thing.
Shades of Grey would absolutely...
If Shades of Grey had some Codes of Honor in it, it would just... It would, like, collapse like a black star and just suck the gravity.
Star?
It would just be awful. Just be awful. Yeah. What are you itching to tell me something?
Well, you're not going to be able to tear me away from the main stage tomorrow, 1:15.
because Gates McFadden's going to be on the screen.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
And that TNG is my bread and butter, and like Dr. Beverly Crusher, you're not going to get me anywhere away from the stage tomorrow.
Yeah. Where's her makeup line?
Right?
Good question.
Yeah. Like a bluish and then the red and the maybe a little green for the Irish episode.
She wore a lot of neutrals, so there were lots of browns in there, and they have a lot of those in the line already.
Yeah. I think she's copper, too.
Yeah. Your big anticipation for tomorrow?
Bridgemeets.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Super excited for Bridgemeets. We have a lot of fun. It's hosted by Philip Gilfus, who runs Earl Grey, really great podcast, and his co-hosts run their team, Free Enterprise. And then To the Journey, Tristan Rydell and Char, Lynn Schmidt, are their awesome team. It's Team Lizard Babies. So we're going to go up against them. And, you know, it's a great group of people that are really good friends to us. And I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
And then we're going to crush them.
That's part of the fun. Yeah.
All right, cool. So hopefully people that are listening that maybe haven't tuned in to Women at Warp Now are going to be enthused and are going to want to sign up and subscribe and give money to your Patreon and send you things in the mail and just be your best friends. And we can follow Women at Warp on Twitter at Women at Warp. But if you need more Women at Warp in your life and that the main account is not enough and you need each individual, Andy, you're at?
At First Time Trek. I'm live tweeting my first time through Star Trek right now. I am in season 3 of DS9 and first season of Voyager.
It is a treat.
Oh, you're doing it like that?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it?
Yes.
So you're toggling between a DS.
Yes.
Okay, so I did that. And that's going to be really difficult because you're going to end like some of the awesome DS9 episodes where it's to be continued, and you have to have the discipline to say no. I have to see what's going on with the Kazon in the Delta Quadrant right now.
Spoilers.
See, be careful. But I can do what I want. So
No. Bullshit, I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
I'm saying, do it. Yeah. If I decide I want to watch more DS9 instead of switching back to Voyager, I will.
Do you agree with this, or do you say she has to do it?
She can do what she wants.
She's a grown-ass woman.
This is not, I'm not mansplaining. I'm saying that I feel that if you want to do it the obnoxious and near slavishly autistic way of doing it as it was presented, you gotta be strong. I'm trying to pump you up here.
I will do my best to be strong. This was recommended.
You can call
me.
It's like being an AA. You can call me and I can say, no, you can do it. You can do it.
I believe in you. No, this was recommended to me by my friend Mike Schindler, and he is my guru for all things Watch Order. So I follow what he says, and I trust him.
All right, and I trust you, Annie. You do it the way is right for you.
I do what I want.
This is meant to be for fun. It's not meant to be. Where can one find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, you can find me at Spaltor. That's Spaltor. You're laughing at me.
What does that Spaltor mean?
That is
like Skeletor spells.
that real talk is way back from high school. That is from my chamber choir because wherever they needed more voice parts, I was either singing soprano, alto, or tenor. So they smashed it together and called me a Spaltor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I've been using that for like 15 years.
Can just throw you portmanteau then.
Yeah. Grace, where does one find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BoneCrusherJank. There's a story behind it, but I'll never tell.
Okay, good. BoneCrusherJank with a K.
Yes.
And Jarrah, where does one find you?
It's at Jarrah Penguin.
Oh, God. Every one of these is ridiculous.
J-A-R-R-A-H Penguin.
J-A-R-R-A-H Penguin.
Yeah.
I love penguins.
It's because I wrote a paper on the March of the Penguins in feminist film theory class in university.
Oh, wow. What is the feminist? It's a March of the Penguins. Well, it's a good story about monogamy, right? About the penguins sleep with one another.
I wanted to pick the least likely film that anyone would analyze in my class. So I was like, animal documentary. Yeah. Also, I really like penguins. So
yeah. They are adorable. That movie's great. I love March of the Penguins.
I argued that it ignored the existence of same-sex penguin couples.
Which Leslie Knope marries in Parks and Rec.
But that's true. There are same-sex penguins, right?
Yeah, there are.
Just look at the New York Public Zoo.
They've been observed multiple times in zoos. I'm not entirely sure about the scientific literature on nature observances, but
that's just the thing. All right, so let's assume
this is the homework for our listeners.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to say you're absolutely right. unless it only happens in zoos, because the whole the whole raison d'etre of that film
it's possible
was that it was in the wild. But also, that's a great there is some great gender sort of you know, the what's it called when it's very late in the day. Division of labor. There's a great gender division of labor
in
that.
Yeah.
And it's not all what you think. Like, the man is spends a lot of time at
it's
home.
Like, it's like half and half for emperor penguins, which are this featured species in each of the penguins.
A lot of times the man is staying home with the kid. And
if you're a fan of Doctor Who, I'd recommend Spy in the Huddle, which is narrated by David Tennant and all about penguins.
Okay, all right.
What is the one that's narrated by Ben Cumberbatch and he says pengling?
That's penguins of Madagascar, for one.
He can't say penguins. He says penguins.
You know, penguins of Madagascar.
I babysit a lot.
Yeah, no, penguins of Madagascar, I think, I'm being 100% serious now. An underrated, I think it's much better than Minions.
Yeah.
All of those dopey movies. And I gave that movie a pretty good review.
It was a fun one.
In The Guardian. You can Google it and find it. So much so that a friend of mine who has two young daughters that were younger back then took them to see it, and he was furious with me. He was like, "That movie was terrible. It was so loud and obnoxious." I'm like, "Cause you don't see a lot of these things." He's one of those dads that doesn't take their kids to the movies. They're very public television oriented family.
And that can only do bad things. Right? Look at me.
So anyway, all right, we're gonna end it on a penguin note then. Thank you,
penguin.
Thank you all four of you for stopping by, and we'll see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.